Let's talk about the album. Let's just kick this off. And it's a concept album based on a story by H.P. Lovecraft, correct?
That's right, yeah.
Can you talk a little about it and how you were able to put music to this certain story?
It's, to explain first, it's not really a certain story from Lovecraft. It's just influenced by his ideas. You know, he created his whole a whole universe, you know, with his stories. It's kind of Cthulhu cult about this great old one being, you know, and just grabbed up there and developed an own story about this biomechanical creature that's always on our record cover since 1988. So the name for this creature was Sound Chaser, so that's why the album title came up, and also the idea to make a story about this creature. It was basically our guitar player, Victor Smolsky, just asked, why don't you do a story about this, because a lot of fans are asking about this creature, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Where did it come from? And then I remember that 10 years ago, I already had a little story in a couple of lyrics on the album Missing Link about this topic, you know, and but it was not really detailed at this time. So now I grabbed up the story again and I wrote it down in more detail, you know, for a whole album.
It's your second concept album. Do you find doing a conceptual album more of a challenge than just a collection of songs?
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit more difficult because you have to prepare everything very detailed before you go to the studio, because you can't change anything later, you know, otherwise you would fuck up the story.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So you really have to be sure what songs you're going to do and how you're going to do them. Arrangements have to be done, and especially the song following on the album is very important, you know, because you can't change it later, you know.
Sure, yeah. I should point out, too, I mean, people don't need to... it's not like some concept albums where you need to listen from beginning to end. The songs stand out on their own very well too.
This is something that I try to make that you can also like take one out and still get into it, you know.
Yep. We've been playing the Great Old Ones on the show with great response. Sound Chasers. You did some different things on the vocals on that one. I saw like Cradle of Filth or something there for me.
Yeah, it's in the beginning. This is the voice of the creature, basically. It's you know, it's the character of the creature that's talking there. And so we did some experiment with my vocals there. But I already try to speak like this a little bit weirdo, like, you know.
Yeah, no, that was very cool. It fits the music very well, what you're doing there, you know. So very cool song, yeah. We're kind of introducing you a little bit to our audience, so I want to talk about Rage's music as a whole. Your influences in reading your bio comes from classical music to Motorhead.
Yeah,
fair enough, yeah. And I kind of, you know, I started to think about it, and, you know, it did make sense. You've really brought in the power of classical music with the aggression of metal, and you come up with Rage. And I mean, when you put Motorhead and classical music together side by side, they don't necessarily mean a lot, but somehow you've blended it. Is that a fair assessment of what you've done?
It's, you know, all these influences, they don't come at the same time, you know. When I was a boy, about 9 or 10 years old, I started to learn classical guitar. Did this for a couple of years, and then I got into rock music, and later also into heavy metal when this was coming up in Europe, beginning of the 80s, you know. So one thing came after the other, and it all influenced me. It all became a part of my musical language, basically, you know. So that's how it got all mixed up in the end, you know.
And like I said, I've become a fairly new fan, and I go back and listen to some of your old stuff, and I'm like, I can't believe how that didn't break into the States over here. Were there certain circumstances, labels, that just prevented you from getting over here in the States more?
I think we just had some bad luck about this thing. The first albums were all released in the States, basically. We were on Noise Records at this time, and we had a couple of offers to tour over there, but for some reasons, you know, there was like money reasons, and another time there was a band splitting up that was in the package, you know. So it was really bad luck that it didn't happen at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this big metal showdown, I want to say, you know, when Nirvana came up, you know, early 90s, you know, when it was really impossible for bands like us to do anything over there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it still is kind of, you know, I hope later it will come back a little bit or so.
Yeah, once the 90s hit, it was tough for metal in general. It's come back. Right now, it's hard to say what trend is going on. It's really, I don't know, everything's kind of fair game right now. And speaking of the music, I want to talk about your band for a little bit. This is just an amazing lineup. Is this perhaps the strongest lineup you've ever had musically?
Yeah, I would say definitely it's the strongest lineup. First, it's very interesting. Maybe we should tell this to the listeners. It's an international lineup. We have an American drummer from New York, Mike Tirana. We have a Russian guitar player, Viktor Smolsky, and I'm from Germany. So this is kind of weird. Maybe some people can understand how we got together, but both guys got stuck in Germany while they were touring with other bands, and they found girls and wives there, you know. So they got stuck in Germany somehow, worked for a couple of years as studio musicians, and when I was looking for new musicians for the band, I just got a hold on them because I basically asked them to finish the recordings for the album we did in 1999 when I lost my band, you know.
Sure,
all the musicians
sure.
were gone, and so I was looking for studio musicians to finish the tapes, and the guys liked the music very much. We liked each other, so we just stayed together.
Yeah, yeah, it's an incredible item. I've got some of actually a lot of Mike's work, and is there a more proficient drummer out there right now? I mean, he's just a machine.
In Germany, you hardly find another guy like him, especially in the metal scene. Maybe you find some guys in the studio scene, but they don't really get into bands, you know.
Mm-hmm. You guys are going to be touring with this, with the three-piece, did I read, with Helloween, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We're going to play in October, November. We have a very large Europe tour together with the boys from Helloween.
Very cool, very cool. And any plans that you headlining after that, is that correct?
Yeah, we're also doing some headlining shows. We want to record some of them for a DVD, live CD, that's supposed to come out next year for the 20 years band anniversary.
Excellent, excellent. You know, the nice thing about you guys is if I'm saying this right, the level of heaviness, if that's a term, it gives you some flexibility, because I've seen you've played with, you know, bands like Sodom and Destruction.
That's long ago.
Yeah.
They were because they are pretty close from where we live.
Okay, sure.
Same management, same record companies, you know.
Sure, sure. But you seem to have the flexibility to play with the thrashers as well as you know, the more straight-up metal bands as well.
We have I think, elements from all of these different styles combined in our music. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the reason why we can do it, you know.
Do you think this is having Rob Halford back and Judas Priest is going to help this entire scene? Do you think they have enough impact to really make much of a difference?
I think this depends a lot on what kind of album they do.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do really a killer album like Painkiller or something like this, there's a chance that they have the same impact with this thing like they had with Painkiller over in Europe. I don't know how big this was in America. I think in America they were more popular with Turbo or something like this.
Yeah.
In Europe this was an immense impact with Painkiller. And if they have something similar, then I guess they can start a wave, you know.
Yeah. I agree. You know, and I just found that out too about 5-6 years ago. I didn't realize Painkiller didn't do that well over here in the States. But
yeah. In Europe it was
huge.
It's one of the albums of the century, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
definitely.
Very cool. Very cool, man. It's a huge pleasure. I've like I said, I've become a big fan in a short time. I don't know what I'd do without German metal. I got to tell you that much.
We're still on. We're gonna continue.
Best of luck and keep rocking. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Yeah.
Thanks again. Have a good day, Peavy.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye now.